B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985, the podcast, and I believe it's our 40th edition of Over Under 985. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan the Man Lifshitz. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, Joe?
Oh, you know, just doing a gambling podcast. It's what we do here every single week. So we got a lot going on today. We'll recap last week. Some NFL totals. Win totals are out. Also, the draft is next week. And, of course, we've got the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball happening all in one. And, of course, the Jeopardy winner is still going. Still going.
That's true.
A week after doing this podcast here. So that's the setup. Just taking a look at last week, though. Who would have thought that Tampa Bay would get swept? Who would have thought that Calgary would be out in the NHL? And if you look at the NBA, I mean, we talk about the refs all the time. Haven't a lot of these point spreads been at least influenced by some of the officials in the NBA?
I mean, in my opinion, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's been, the refs have been horrendous to say the very least. Honestly, I mean, I thought that they tried to keep the Pacers in game three last night with the Celtics, and the Celtics were just consistently hitting shots. If the Celtics don't make all those shots in the fourth quarter, I really don't know what happens. I think Indiana probably wins by 10. The refs were awful in that game. They've been awful in the Houston series. I mean, really, they've allowed a lot of teams to stay in it. I mean, really, they were on the money in the Orlando-Toronto game, 5 points, and that was really because of the refs. I thought Toronto probably beats them by 10 otherwise, maybe 15. But, man, the refs have been keeping it close, and it is hard to bet the NBA right now.
Yeah, and even if you want to look at even the Brooklyn-Philadelphia game from Saturday, what, 2.5 point spread, 3.5 point spread, and Philadelphia wins 112-108. I mean, it's like right on the number. I don't know how the Pacers-Celtics game stayed under 205 when it was at 120 at halftime.
Yep.
Even in game two, it's like I thought that game was going to go over. Nope, it did not. So it's Vegas, it's the route, it's everything. So that's just the NBA side of things. Looking at the NHL, though, when you consider these two sports, Dan, for me, sometimes the regular season just doesn't matter, right? Especially in the NBA, like, it just doesn't matter for some teams. In the NHL, it looked like maybe the regular season didn't matter for maybe Tampa Bay or Columbus or even Calgary, for that matter. And I don't know, maybe even the Bruins, who, you know, this podcast will be out today. They play a crucial game six, and they're even money in game six. That means that Vegas, I think, leans towards Toronto in that sense.
I would disagree with that. I think that Vegas wants the money on Toronto purely out of the fact. I mean, Toronto was, what, like a minus 125 favorite in game, was it four? So, I mean, the way that I look at it is, you know, that's a short line for Toronto, in my opinion. And because of that, you know, it's going to be one of those things where I think you're going to see a ton of people on Toronto. Bruins fans think the series is over. General NHL bettors think the series is over. So I think you're going to see a ton of money coming in on Toronto. I think the Bruins win that game. I do. I don't even have to cap that game. I just, you know, you talk about how you just naturally feel it. I feel the Bruins will win that game.
All right, we'll get into that in just a little bit. And finally, just to recap one thing from last week, the Masters, Tiger Woods won, and all the square bettors took the public, one of the public people, and they all cashed in the casinos. They got crushed by Tiger.
I was shocked. I really didn't think that we'd see Tiger win for a while. I thought maybe he would get one. I honestly, truly, if I'm honest with myself, I really didn't think he would. But I thought maybe he would get one, like, you know, maybe at some point. But I'm shocked that he got it. I'm shocked it was this early, because I think he has a chance to win another one this year. I mean, really, you have to consider him a legitimate threat right now.
All right, we're recording this podcast on Saturday, a 420 edition here of the Over Under 985. I've been making lists today, you know, best rappers, best stoner movies. So I just watched Grandma's Boy. So that was fun, Dan. And I know that where you're located, the flagship of this podcast, 985 The Sports Hub, and I am at my my beautiful desk in Peabody, Massachusetts. That's a pretty much a recap from last week. Let's dip into the NBA and NHL coming up in a minute here, and everything else that's happening in the gambling world. We'll start there. You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. More of the NBA and NHL coming up next here on the podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshitz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
It's Over Under 985, the podcast. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshitz. We're on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshitz, and at Over Under 985, where we encourage you to send in your questions. I got plenty of questions this week regarding hedging and parlays. And all I wanted to say was, what if you listen to the podcast, we told you don't do parlays. Some dude sent me like a 16 parlay, Dan, and he hit it. But he asked me how to hedge it, and I didn't see it until late. And the dude, he hit the parlay. So good for him.
Nice.
But of course, we always say, stay away from parlays.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, if you want to make real consistent money, you're not going to make money winning off parlays long term. If you hit a 16-teamer or a 10-teamer or whatever, that's awesome and that's great. But again, if you really want to make money doing this and your goal is to, you know, make some spending cash and actually have some money, parlays are not the way to do it. They're just not. I mean, all the pros, none of the pros parlay anything. And they don't tease anything. The only thing they ever use teases on are 6-point NFL teasers. That's it. So no teases in the NBA or college basketball, no parlays, nothing like that.
I want to give you props on the Thunder Blazers game three, where you said to take the Thunder. It didn't look right. Right, the way the Thunder have been playing the last couple of days, just them as 7.5-8-point favorites in that area. The Blazers look good, getting 8.5 points at some places. But they won 120-108, so that was something that you want, a game that you won. But when you look at it, right, if it doesn't look right, and this is something I've been seeing lately, if it doesn't look right, sometimes you just got to go with it. How about the Celtics -2.5 yesterday? The Pacers -2.5. That didn't look right, Dan. It didn't look right.
And again, we kind of talked about it at the beginning, but the way that I feel about that, the Pacers 2.5 and kind of just everything about that, I feel that if the Celtics did not make as many shots as they did, that they would have lost that game. You know, because the refs really, I mean, the Pacers were in the bonus in the fourth quarter by -6. I mean, but they were, you know, it was like 6:45 left. They were already in the bonus.
They took the lead at one point, man.
Well, right. They took the lead early in the second, but they were up then. But, you know, the Celtics just kept making shots. So, first off, you have to give credit to the Celtics because, honestly, they probably should have won that game by 20-25. And you have to give credit to the refs for keeping it even remotely close. I mean, you know, they didn't do a good enough job, to be perfectly honest. They didn't do a good enough job. And, you know, this is exactly why you see, you know, when you see ref pairings and whatever. You know, I don't think the NBA was too concerned about this series, you know, because obviously if they were, you know, there would have been a different ref assignment. But the way I look at it is they didn't get Scott Foster. They didn't get Tony Brothers. And because of that, you know, it is what it is. So
there was a Rockets game on Wednesday night. The total was 216. And when I tell you, Dan, that they scored 30 points in the last like two minutes of the game, it happened. I couldn't believe that it hit the number. Just could not believe it. And Utah was playing all of their stiffs like Grayson Allen and guys like that. And I'm shocked that these totals and these numbers, they're either way under or they're like hitting the number. The only ones you've truly seen over is that Philadelphia series. You haven't really been able to figure that out yet. But I wanted to just go back to Tuesday night. There were a couple of real bad beats out there. The Spurs game against the Nuggets, the Spurs had a huge lead. right? They blew that game. They lose 114-105. There goes your cover, Spurs. And then that huge comeback from the Clippers. I think that was the scary game for the Warriors. Also, they're going to lose DeMarcus Cousins now. So I think they run away with the rest of that series. And, you know, Philadelphia is probably going to run away with that series at some point. But I did see the number move for Golden State a little bit. What is it now? Minus 175? Without Cousins, do you still look at them as one of the, as the favorite? Because, again, I'm fading them this year.
So I actually disagreed with you on this. I think without Cousins, it's a much easier path for them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Cousins was a bad player, but just I think that there was too much needing the ball there and the less needing the ball. I mean, they've done it with four guys before without Cousins, and Cousins really never fit in for them. Yeah, there are a couple games here and there you could point to and say, man, he was really good for them. But in reality, we never looked at him, saw a game and said, oh, man, DeMarcus Cousins really looks good with, you know, really looks good with the Warriors. To me, he was more of a guy who, you know, was trying to rebuild his value. And, of course, unfortunately, you know, that's not going to end up being that's not going to end up working. But, you know, and they are going to have to rely on Kevin Looney and Andrew Bogut, which is always scary. However, I just think they're too talented. I don't think there's anyone that's going to beat them. They were down to minus 150 after they lost to the Clippers, and I even posted it on Twitter and said, you know, they're at minus 150, go hammer it. They were actually at minus 142 on Five Dimes when I got it, but, minus 150 was at BOL and a few other places, so I figured minus 150. I did hammer it, Joe. I just think that it's free money. I don't think there's anyone that's going to get close to them. I mean, you take a look at the West. Unless you believe the Rockets are going to beat them. And I do think that without Cousins, it will be a tougher series for the Warriors to beat the Rockets because they do have some size. So that could be an issue. But other than that, there's not a team that you look at and say, man, the Warriors are going to struggle versus them. I mean, really, out of the East, you think the Celtics? I mean, the Celtics might take a game or two off them, but in reality, they're not a real threat. And that's, you know, that's just my honest opinion. The Sixers looked horrible versus the Nets. They're not. You know,
they won. I mean, they won today. The Butler thing is a different story, but they're up 3-1 now, Dan. They're going to win that series.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to win that series. But are you scared of the Sixers? Do you think the Sixers have a legitimate chance to win the East?
I don't think anybody has been scared of the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. That team doesn't look good. Embiid's not healthy. They're just not playing well. They don't look good as a team. They do not scare me, you know. The Bucks. I mean, do you think the Bucks have enough talent to beat the Warriors?
You know, I'm not impressed. Not impressed in the 10-point favorites today. So if they go on the road and win by 10, maybe I'll respect them a little more. A
lot of sharp money coming in on Detroit, by the way. A lot of sharp money. I've been told by like 6 different gambling groups that they're on the Pistons today, which is interesting because I'm not.
They're a tuck back team. Say what you want about the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons are worse.
Oh, 100%. Without question. They're far worse. And they're barely in the playoffs for a reason. I honestly just don't think that there's anyone who's going to touch Golden State. The only team who has a real chance to beat them, in my opinion, is Houston. And unless you think Boston's getting to the East, I think Boston can maybe take a game or two off them, but that's it. I don't see any other team that can really give them a fight, unfortunately.
Just what do you think of that line today? Utah is -2.5 versus the Rockets. I don't think they have it. I don't care where the game is being played. Maybe the fans will. I like the Rockets in that spot again.
So Utah got manhandled games one and two, and this is a Scott Foster game, if I'm not mistaken.
Geez.
So in my opinion, I mean, to me, I said earlier in the week, don't take the Celtics +3. Don't take the Rockets +3. I just thought that those were two trap spots. I was totally wrong in the Celtics. They came out and they were just guns a-blazing. And honestly, again, if they do not make those shots consistently in the fourth quarter, they lose that game by 10. That is my honest-to-God feeling, but they didn't. They came out and they did that. But, Joe, the way I feel about these NBA playoff games is I don't like to bet against the refs. And in those lines, like, for instance, the Celtics now open -1 in game 4. Okay, that's what they should have been. That's the line that they should have been. They should not have been 3-point dogs. So -1, I feel very comfortable with taking the Celtics there. +3, you know, with the Pacers, I mean with the Rockets. Again, this is a game you're going to be betting against the refs. Now, don't get me wrong, you can still beat the refs. It's possible. but it's really hard. And I just don't want to put myself in the situation of betting versus a team and the refs. So I would tell you, Joe, not to bet against Houston tonight. Or not to bet on Houston tonight.
If you go to at official NBA refs, you can see all the refs that are doing every single game. I think it's really helpful. It also shows, you know, what some of the records are for some of these officials. For example, the Celtics the other night had Tony Brothers. Did not favor them very well at all. You know, just looking at the record all time. But, hey, they came out on top. So I do agree with you on the officials angle. Just, I know we're doing the podcast today. We'll pick it up next week again. But we think the Warriors, who already lost the game, I never thought they'd lose. But by this time next week, they'll advance. Do you think the Raptors advance over Orlando? Because that's been a gritty series.
Yeah, I think the Raptors will win game four. I believe the Raptors will win game four and win it in five. I think we saw the Orlando win game one. That was cute. I think the refs kept it close in game three. I think the Raptors will win in game four. I'm not even sure if we have a line for that game. Game four. I don't know if we have a line for that game. I'm actually looking it up right now.
5.5.
So 5.5. Okay. At five and a half, I mean, it would be very tough for me to see Orlando winning another game. Honestly.
Yeah.
It is down to five.
How about that Blazers series? And I just want to highlight Russell Westbrook. I know he puts up big numbers, but he is nothing compared to Damian Lillard.
Like, I mean, he was great last night. That battle, though, I watched that game. Those two going at it all game was awesome.
And listen, I didn't watch the game, but I'll tell you, like, there's games where he can't shoot. Like, Westbrook sometimes hurts his team. And I just think Lillard has been outstanding. Like, is he one of I don't want to call him underrated because he's not whatsoever, but, like, holy crap, that guy can shoot the basketball from way downtown.
Yeah, Lillard is incredible. I don't think there's any question in your mind that Lillard is incredible.
And I get it. Russell Westbrook's like a walking triple-double. He's a walking triple-double.
Yeah, no, I mean, Lillard is the better player. Here's the thing. Lillard struggles on the defensive end, and it's very apparent at times. And that's why they have CJ McCollum take the harder task a lot of those times. So that is kind of an issue. Lillard had the Isaiah syndrome for a while. He's gotten better. Is he good? No. You know, I'd probably say he's probably slightly worse than Kyrie defensively. At least Kyrie can get you some steals. I think that Lillard is extremely weak on the defensive side, and that is where there's a big flaw in his game. But offensively, I mean, he is a nightmare to guard. And Westbrook really struggled in that third quarter last night. I mean, I think Lillard had like 20 or something like that in the third quarter alone. Mm. But Westbrook down the stretch was very, very good, as we kind of expect him to be. I expected Oklahoma State to beat them by 20 last night. They won by 12. I just kind of thought, you know, at some point they're going to get back into the series. Yeah. I picked Portland to win it, as we talked about in the last podcast. But I thought that Oklahoma City would be, you know, at least in it. I think this is going to be 4-3. I think Portland probably wins 7, something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Portland just looks like the more consistent team. And I know Enes Kanter is getting minutes in them. But talk about a move, huh? Like, that guy got bounced, and he's actually done pretty well for the Blazers with the big man going down there.
He's been very good with Nurkic down. He's been very good. Very good.
He really has been. So, I agree with you. I think the Blazers win that series. You know, and then we're looking ahead now. We think Boston advances, they play Milwaukee, and then it would be Toronto
versus Philly, because Philly up 3-1 today. I thought the Nets were going to win the series. Today was the day to do it. They had a really good chance leading up into the fourth quarter. They were leading by 11 at some time in the third quarter and blew the game still. And, you know, once that happens, I mean, the series is over.
So let's play the game. If we're looking at Milwaukee, Boston, Toronto in a series against the Sixers, I'd probably say the Raptors in Milwaukee would be slight favorites.
Milwaukee will be a pretty heavy favorite if
over Boston.
Yeah, I'm guessing the Milwaukee will probably be -220, -250.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a pretty heavy favorite. I mean, they're the number one seed in the. I mean, it, remember last year with Philly and Boston? It was similar. Philly was like minus 220.
Let me throw this one at you. Coach Bud or Brad Stevens?
I mean, for what? In terms of
just if this, if you're going to put money down on a side and it's down to the coaching, which guy do you put it on?
Honestly, probably Budenholzer knowing me his too. Playoff run.
But I think Stevens has done a great job. But Coach, remember those Atlanta teams? You know, like, remember they got upset one year?
Well, they I mean, they were very good versus, you know, the Kevin. They were, I don't think.
Well, no, this is the old, the previous Celtics teams.
Yeah.
Didn't they beat the Celtics in that first round?
Yeah, but again, that wasn't really impressive to me. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was your best player, and I know that everyone in Boston likes to think of Isaiah as a cult hero, but to be honest with you, he wasn't that good. And, you know, I think we're starting to see that, you know. I mean, really, they were down 0-2 to the Bulls a couple of years ago. If Rondo doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens in that series? So the way I look at it is I do think that was a good win for them. I don't want to go over the top. I think that Stevens has done a very poor job this year in coaching those guys, and I think that's my issue. I think that Stevens is still the better coach, ultimately. But this year, I would take Budenholzer. I think he's done a very good job in Milwaukee. He's raised their level of play. He's raised their game. And, you know, kind of everything that comes along with that. And so because of that, I would take more money on Budenholzer. I do think, I'm going to tell you, Joe, I don't know what the line is. I think the Celtics have a real chance to win the series.
Me too.
I do. Regardless of Marcus Smart players or not, which he doesn't look like he is. I mean, they would, in my opinion, be better off with him. But I think they're going to have a real chance to beat Milwaukee in the series. It's going to be tight. It's going to be 6 or 7 games. I'll tell you, if the line is big enough, I'll definitely take the Celtics spread in terms of games. I just think that, you know, the Celtics are, we've now seen it. You know, they play close games, and they're going to play Milwaukee close. Like, those games are not going to be blows. They're going to be close games, and whoever makes the plays at the end of the game probably win. And so therefore, I think the Celtics will be very close in that one. And I think it's going to be in Toronto and Philly. I think you'll ultimately see Toronto spank Philly. I just don't have any faith in that team. I know Toronto sucks and they have a playoff record and, you know, playoff history and whatever. Ultimately, I still think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think that they're probably going to be Philly. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat him in 5, honestly. I don't think Philly's a very good team.
So I think Toronto will be like minus 180 for the series. That's where I'm going with that one.
But, I think you're probably looking at minus 200 at least.
Okay. All right. The best player in the series is Kawhi Leonard. There's no doubt. But then I look around and I'm like, who's the second best player in the series?
It's Embiid, without question. As long as he's healthy.
And if he's not, then who is? Is it Jimmy Butler?
It's probably, yeah. I mean, it's not Ben Simmons. That's for damn sure. It's not Ben Simmons.
That's what I'm saying. Lowry's an advantage in that situation.
I think it's Butler. I think that, you know, Simmons is a better player than Butler. I just think that Siakam, the depth that Toronto has, the way they put together as a team, I think they will, right now they're facing a team that doesn't really test them. I know they lost game one. But, you know, does ultimately anyone think they're really going to lose that series? No. And so because of that, you have to take a look and be serious about it. Toronto will probably steamroll Philly. I'll probably look stupid for saying that. I will, you know, but like I have this feeling that Philly is going to suck. So,
okay, and on the Western Conference side, who will Golden State play?
Houston. They would play Houston. As long as Houston beats Utah, I'm telling you, I think Utah is going to sneakily get back in the series. I could be wrong. I think that Utah is better than we all think. I know they had a terrible game one and game two. They were not good. Sneakily, I think Utah has a chance to get back in the series. I don't think they're going to win it.
Yeah, no.
But I think they will.
I'm calling it now, Dan. I'm taking Houston to knock off the Warriors.
Okay, yeah, we'll make a side bet if you want to do that. I'm down because the Warriors are going to steamroll the Rockets.
See, I just feel like Kevin Durant's not into it.
I think he is. I think he just wants to win and get out of there. And the least amount of games that he plays, the quicker it is for him to get out. That's the way I feel about it. I mean, he was dynamite the other night. I mean, really, he was. So
yeah, I was actually just about to look up the box. Yeah, 38 points on 3 of 10 from down. I mean, I guess he was invested in that game.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty embarrassed about losing game two, and so I think that he took over game three. And
how about Spurs Nuggets?
I mean, we talked about it. I picked San Antonio in that series, I believe. I may have picked Denver. I don't know. I said it was going to be very close. I think Denver will probably win game four, which is going on right now. I don't know what the score is. I'm not looking at it.
But it was tied at halftime. But realistically, like, I don't see the Spurs, Nuggets, Thunder, or Blazers beating the Rockets or the Warriors.
Agreed. I think that the next round will probably be the best round of basketball you'll see throughout the playoffs. So I think that the second round will probably be the best. I mean, realistically, I think it will be the Spurs. I think it will be the Blazers. I think it will be the Rockets and the Warriors. I think it will be the Celtics and the Bucks and the Raptors and the Sixers, which is not really a surprise. I mean, outside of one or two of those teams, pretty much that's how everyone thought it would be.
I'll say this. I don't think the NBA wants to see Houston, Milwaukee. Like, they don't want that.
Golden State's going to win, I'm telling you.
No, I hear you, but I just, to your point, to make your point, they want Golden State and they want Boston. They want Golden State and they want Philadelphia. Like, they want, because, like, Toronto's boring. They are. But they have a great home court. Milwaukee, I mean, yeah, if you can get the best player in the finals, I think they'll like that. But the market, vomit. You know, that's going to – the ratings the last few years have been – it's been Cavs and Warriors, and every single year we've been dialed in. Like, the ratings have been really good for that. So I think they hope that they get a Golden State Boston, a Golden State – like, that kind of matchup. And if I'm betting on it, that's the way I'm going to look at it.
I think that you could really look at it in all four ways and say, well, there's some good upside here. Milwaukee, they probably get the next LeBron James. I mean, does anyone think that Giannis is not a top three player at this point?
He's definitely.
He's going to be the next guy. Like, that is the
next guy. And I might turn it on just to see him because I can't see him often.
Well, in my opinion, that's the next guy. So I do think that he's going to be the next guy, the big face of the NBA, the big superstar. They'll probably want to move him out of Milwaukee. But for right now, that's how they would sell it. The next guy, you know, for Toronto. And here's what I've been told about that. That whole market of Canada is completely untapped. You could have an entire country of Canada. Again, now, you know, it's Canada, but still, an entire country and a big market that really hasn't been tapped into the NBA, especially if the Leafs lose, which it doesn't look like they will, but especially if the Leafs lose that series, that is a huge market for all of Canada to get behind. And in my opinion, I think there's a legitimate chance that that could really turn the tide of how the NBA is viewed in Canada and maybe become a much larger market. If Toronto is in that series, people are going to get into that. You know, they'll probably take a game or two off the Warriors. I think that that will be a big, big market and a big thing for them. So I think that there is potential in Toronto. I don't take Philadelphia seriously, so I don't think it matters. And obviously they would probably prefer Boston. That would be the way. You have superstars. You have a giant city, and everyone wants to watch Kyrie Irving and all this crap. So, you know, you'd have Kyrie Irving versus Kevin Durant. There's so many headlines that you could play off that. So, obviously, the refs are going to be on Boston in the upcoming playoff series. I don't think we need to talk about Philadelphia because I just don't think they matter. I really don't.
All right, that's our basketball preview. Hopefully next week these games start to tip off. We know how the NBA works, Dan. You know, you play one game, you take 2 days off, and then you get back-to-back, and then you take a bunch of days off, and then you finish the series off. So that's why it's good for teams like the Celtics to get it done in four games. Just get it done. You'll get some rest. You know, like Milwaukee, those two teams, they're doing it the right way. So let's take a quick breather. We're going to get into the NHL stuff because there's been a ton of upsets. And I'll tell you, I think this thing is completely wide open.
There's a lot to talk about with the NHL. I think it's going to be a long segment, Joe.
So we'll take a quick little breather here. It's the Over Under 985 podcast. Dan Lifshitz, Joe Murray. We're just talking it out. talking it out. Maybe we haven't placed anything yet, but there's just a ton going on, and we're here to talk about it. So it's over under 985. We'll get into the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Core Baseball Talk, Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lipschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, over on our 985, it's the Hockey Talk. And I've been following, today the Stars beat the Predators. They go up 3-2. Canes Capitals tonight. I don't know what's going to happen with Washington without Oshie right now in a tied series. The Blues, they look to knock out the Jets in an interesting game. Last night, Calgary, the number one seed out.
In the West. Number one seed in the West out. First time. Both number one seeds have been knocked out in the first round.
Amazing. I cannot believe Tampa Bay lost in four straight.
And, of course, Tampa Bay, I mean, that is the biggest hockey joke of all time.
Is it worse than the Bruins losing to Philadelphia?
Oh, man.
Because they can't beat them.
It's right there, dude. It's right there.
It's there, but the Bruins had a 3-0 series lead and lost.
And we're up 3-0 in Game 7. People forget that. They were up 3-0 in Game 7. That's fair. That is the ultimate choke of all time. Tampa Bay's choke is the biggest upset in a very long time. That's the way I would look. That would be the way I would describe it. Biggest upset in a very long time.
San Jose, right? I mean, can they hang on? The more I watch, it's just, it gets more interesting. And of course, there's that great Bruins Leaf series. And I know we kind of teased it earlier. And of course, we work for the flagship of the Boston Bruins. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Dan, whatever you like in Game 6 or Game 7, whatever you do, I think the Leafs win the series. And you said that to begin. Here's what it comes down to for me. Just short and sweet, no other analysis needed. The Bruins are older and more injured, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are better coached and have better, younger talent taking advantage of the older guys.
All right, so I guess we'll start with Leaf Bruins. I was the only one at the station. Feels like the entire city of Boston actually picked the Leafs in the series. Everyone saw them in the regular season and thought they were overmatched, not good defensively, whatever. I thought they had the better goalie. I think that's held true. I think Anderson has been better than Rask. I know Rask was very good last night.
Game 4, he stole. That's it.
He didn't steal your game. Rask has not stole you anything.
Well, I think he did well enough in Game 4.
I disagree. I mean, I know Ty Anderson wrote that, and you know me. I love Ty. I was talking to him today with you.
I strongly
disagree. Tuukka Rask did not steal you anything in that game. You allow four goals. You
agree
not
to disagree.
Steal a game. You. I mean, that's fine. There's no stealing a game when you allow four goals. I mean, you outpoint Anderson. Who Anderson was not good in that game. He was human in that game. But outside of that game, Anderson has been the better goalie in every single game. You could argue last night as well. I mean, I thought that both the defenses were the more important part, but I thought both goalies were very good. I don't think Rask, the first goal was really on Rask. I'm not really sure what he could do there, especially with the interference. And then, you know, the second goal definitely wasn't on him. And that's, I just don't know what Moore is doing there. Krug is a defensive liability. So my guess is Moore is probably trying to go over there to help Krug because Krug's been so awful in the series. But again, not a good play by Moore either. Just both those guys have been bad. So you can't really blame Rask. Here's the thing though, Joe, I think the Bruins are going to win game six. I really do. Everyone loves Toronto. It's just like it's that common
Bruins,
phrase.
Bruins are even money right now.
It's the common phrase in hockey. When everyone loves a side in hockey, especially, that side usually loses. Last year, everyone thought Vegas was going to run away with the championship. Oh, expansion team. They made it to the finals. They're going to win. And the Capitals killed them, more or less. I mean, it was, I think, 4-2. But, I mean, really, that series was not that close. I think the Bruins win game six. I do. In fact, I'm taking the Bruins as a PP. So not a large play or whatever, but the, you know, a regular sized one unit hockey play. I will take the Bruins money line in game six. Everyone is on the Leafs. Everyone. I was getting tweets last night chirping, the series is over, the Bruins suck, you're an idiot. I'm like, I'm the only dude who took the Leafs, but I'm the idiot. Okay. I just, you know, what I've known about hockey all my life is that the series is never over. It's just not. It's not over.
Especially these two teams.
It's not over until you win four games. It's not. I mean, the Leafs almost blew the lead last night with like 10 seconds left. I mean, come on. Anyone, and people were just chirping me all night. Oh, there's no way. There is no way. Of course there's a way. It's hockey. It's two games, and these teams are pretty evenly matched. So stupid.
I don't disagree with you. I just think that today, I just give you a little for people who the insight. All they did today was work on their power play, and now they changed the lineup again. And I think the coaching's the Dan. You might be right, and maybe in this crazy game of life, it does just come down to gambling. Like it just comes down to those are the odds. It looks too good to be true. The other team's going to win, but for me, there's a significant coaching disadvantage here. Babcock versus Cassidy. It's significant, and I think it was. I just want to watch game six. I actually like, are they the same old Bruins who can come back and win these type of games who are never out? Or is this the Toronto team with the good coach that got the big time free agent and got over the hurdle? Because I'll tell you this much. If you're a Bruins fan, you're going to have home ice throughout this whole entire thing, even in the Stanley Cup finals. So like there's motivation right there. And to throw up a dud in game five at home, hoof. So I don't know, just looking at a betting perspective, maybe the Bruins at even money in game six is a good call, but I actually like the small number in the home team.
I don't really get the love for them. You know, they were actually a better road team than they were home team this year. Not to mention, I don't think that home, you know, there's no such thing as home ice. That doesn't exist. No, I don't know a single NHL capper who's actually a good NHL capper who has ever once considered, oh, they're playing in Boston, oh, they're playing in Toronto, oh, that doesn't factor into anything. In fact, every single bookmaker I've ever talked to you about this says, well, we inflate the lines because the home team, you know, we like to get money in the home team. I mean, the Leafs were a better road team than they were a home team. Yet every single player would talk, oh, it's so hard to go into Toronto. Well, if it's so hard, how come they were a better road team than they were home team this year? So they weren't dominant by any means. So, you know, it's not like, oh, well, it could be a misnomer that way. No, they were a better road team. There is no such thing as home ice. It's a misnomer. It's people who don't understand the fact that, you know, it just doesn't matter because everyone looks at an NBA and says, oh, it's such a big deal. It is a big deal in the NBA. In the NHL, it means diddly squat, nothing. And the way I look at it is just that way, Joe, is I do not think that this is going to matter, you know, the home ice. I think the Bruins are going to win that game. I think they're going to come out flying early. You know, they should have come out in game five, but they didn't. They're going to have to respond in game six, backs against the wall, come out flying early, be on the, you know, be aggressive early. If they get a goal or two, you know, that would be interesting to me. And, you know, the league knows that they messed up that call last night. You could very well see that because
You saw it later in that Calgary game.
Exactly. So, in my opinion, I would not be surprised if the Bruins end up with like five power plays tomorrow night. Five, yeah. Six. I mean, that is a legitimate possibility.
So maybe the over is on the table.
I'll talk about it. I'll look into that tomorrow. I haven't really looked into that. I'm just telling you, this is based off nothing. This is not my normal handicapping. I'm taking the Bruins tomorrow. I like them. I think it's a good spot. I think the people are already overvaluing Toronto. Everyone, their mother, has already considered the series over. It's going to go to game seven. You know, I personally think Toronto can win, but really in game seven, it's a complete toss-up. Complete. So it's just whatever goalie play is better in the next two games, in my opinion. That's the way I look at it.
All right. So this has been an intense series. So we'll move on from it. And we already know that Columbus has moved on. I don't even know what the line was, but holy hell. If you got that one at, I think it was plus 2,300 for a sweep.
Plus 4,400.
4,400. Okay, there you go. Capitals, Carolina 2-2. Clearly the Capitals are the better team. But on the flip side of that, though, Capitals better. But on the flip side of it, no Oshie now. Like, could things be a little bit, you know, different here?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? You kind of cut out there.
No, I just here, when you look at this tied 2-2, you probably feel like the Capitals without Oshie, or
I actually like the Canes tonight. That was my closest thing to a play tonight was the Hurricanes. I just kind of thought that, you know, that was the way I kind of, you know, figured it would be. I think the Canes are the better team. I think they have been this series so far. I think they got very unlucky not to win game two. Honestly, they got very unlucky in that overtime game. They were dominant both games, three and four. I think they found their stride. Washington without Oshie is a sizable loss. I think the goaltending has been pretty even, and Holpe might actually have been the worst of the two goalies in the series. You know, Mrazek's been very good. I would lean Carolina at least in this game. It's tough. I do think Carolina's going to win this series at this point. I had picked originally Washington. I just thought they were the better team, the more physical team. But, I mean, you know, they proved me wrong. I think Carolina's been the better team, and I think they'll continue. I think they'll win tonight. I do. And I think that there is a good chance that they'll win that series in six or seven.
Wow. All right. And then we know that the Islanders beat Pittsburgh, which, again, I know they're a really good team this year, but just some interesting stuff there. But if we're looking ahead here, right, Columbus and the winner of Bruins, Maple Leafs, Islanders, winner of Capitals, like, who's playing in the final there?
In my opinion, it's probably the Islanders. I mean, regardless of what the Bruins do, to me, that is the best team in the East. They have been for quite some time. Defensively, they're solid. They can score. You know, their goaltending issues come and go, but if their goalie is locked in, I mean, they are very good. I think that offensively, they're one of the most talented, if not the most talented teams left. I think that Toronto's probably more talented than them, but I mean, it's definitely a toss-up. They've had, you know, they're just a very good team. They're dangerous. They're fast. They can hit you. They play physical. They really qualify as everything you're looking for in a team. And obviously, you know, they showed you that by sweeping Pittsburgh. And obviously, you know, people did not expect that. I kind of figured Pittsburgh would win at least one or two games in that series when they were down. But, you know, the Islanders just shut the door on them. I'm not surprised by that. I do think they're the best team in the East, in my opinion.
So, like, the odds right now, we suppose the winner of the Bruins and Toronto would be the favorite?
Versus Columbus? I'm not quite sure. Columbus was actually the favorite.
But I mean to win the East.
Yeah. Once the series is over, you'll see the odds shift, obviously. I think Toronto, if Toronto wins the East, will probably be the odds-on favorite. If Boston wins, I think there's a good chance you'll see the Islanders as the favorite, assuming the Canes beat the Capitals.
And I remember when Tavares signed, Toronto opened up as the favorite to win the Cup.
Right. And so I think Toronto or Washington will be the favorite, you know, if those teams win. If neither of those teams win or one of those teams win, obviously it'll be the favorite. If neither of those teams win, I do think it'll be the Islanders and then the Bruins. That's the way I would go. So assuming the Bruins win, I think we'll go the Islanders, Bruins, then Blue Jackets, and then Hurricanes.
Okay. Taking a look at the Western Conference. Again, this one's wide open. I don't even know where to go with it. But again, Vegas has a chance to move on with a win over San Jose. The Blues, another chance to move on. And we saw that in Dallas. So Dallas has been interesting to me. I think they have a lot of young firepower. St. Louis is always in the mix. Colorado, I mean, Colorado is the hottest team in hockey. We said that going into the final week of the season.
We did.
And here they are, just knocked off the number one seed. So, like, if I'm going to ride a team right now, they're the hottest. Dallas is all of a sudden turning it on. And I don't know, should we just dismiss the Vegas Knights? You know, a team that went all the way last year. So, like, that one is wide open, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the Avalanche story at the moment.
Well, let's start with the Dallas-Nashville series, because Dallas just won. You know, Loben took the 3-2 lead. The reason Dallas is in that series and is leading that series is purely Ben Bishop. He's been the better of the two goalies. I thought Reno was very good. You know, he made an incredible save today, but in reality, Bishop has been the better of the two goalies, and that's the reason that the Stars are up 3-2. Now, a lot of people thought that Dallas was a one-line team coming into the series, and they haven't. They've been, their depth has really shown through, and they've been the better of the two teams, to be perfectly honest. They have been. I do think Dallas is going to end up taking that series. I think they'll win it in six. I thought people really loved the Predators, and I wasn't really quite sure why. Maybe it's just because they're Nashville, and they made it to the Cup a few years ago, and so whatever. I thought Dallas was a very good, sneaky, sharp pick in that series. Dallas is very good. I think that they're definitely going to win that series. San Jose, Vegas, I don't think San Jose is enough to come back. I think Vegas will win that series ultimately, although I really like San Jose in game four, I believe it was. Sorry, game five. And did play San Jose, and they won that game pretty easily. I do think that Vegas is going to, you know, turn it on in game six or game seven, ultimately, and win that series, which will advance them. The other two series, I'm blanking on them right now. St. Louis and Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg still has a very good chance to come back and win that series. Yeah. I do. I know that when, you know, St. Louis is home tonight, Winnipeg to me is the better team still. You know, St. Louis scored 3 goals in the third period, including the one with 5 seconds left to win that game. Wild. But in my opinion, Winnipeg is still the better team. I think that they can come back and win. And I'm blanking on the last series, to be honest. Oh, Colorado. So Colorado destroyed the Flames. You said they were the hottest team in hockey. I agree with that.
And Vegas. You talk about Vegas as well?
Yeah. I already talked about them. But okay. Yeah, I mean, Colorado with the hottest team in hockey. Probably. Here's the thing. There's going to be a layoff now. You know, there's going to be a layoff. So that's what I would say for these teams like the Islanders and the Jackets and, you know, and Colorado. There's going to be a layoff. And someday, you know, in some cases, it's going to be like 4 or 5 days. That sucks. You know, that really takes the fire and the emotion away from a team. So, you know, that is going to be something that you do have to look for. Out of the West, in my opinion, I think the West is more of a toss-up than the East. Because I think the East, you'll see, you know, I really think that the East is going to come down to whoever the best, you know, whoever the best offense is. That's my opinion. It's going to be the best offensive team there. I don't think the goalies are as elite. I think it's going to be the best offensive team that comes out of the East. In the West, I really don't know what it comes down to. I think you have so many different types of teams. It's going to be very interesting to see. You know, do you ride the hot hand in Colorado? Do you think that, you know, the experience and just the quality depth of Vegas comes through, which I still don't. I think they'll end up probably losing. But, you know, Winnipeg is so young and so good. Do they, you know, come back and rebound? Or does St. Louis take that series? And, you know, St. Louis, you could argue, has been even hotter than Colorado. They've been the best second-half team in the NHL by far. So, you know, does St. Louis come back? It's tough for me to kind of, you know, to choose anyone there. So I think we're going to have to see what the series are before I can make a determination. I don't have any, you know, anyone I really love out there, to be honest with you. I just don't know.
Okay. It's, again, we got a week to go here. So next week's podcast, I'm sure, is going to be interesting. Possibly game sevens, new series to begin with. So it's been, so far, very good, very entertaining NHL playoff. Again, if it was me right now, I would take some action on Dallas for fun.
St. Louis scored the first minute of the game. They're up 1-0 at Winnipeg.
There you go. And then if I was looking at the East for fun, I'd go back with the Washington Capitals.
I don't think they're good enough to do it again.
I don't either, but just for fun.
Okay, yeah. If we're just choosing right now, I will take the Islanders. I'm assuming that Toronto will win the series. I will take the Islanders. and I will take – I'm going to take Dallas. I just think that riding Ben Bishop. So I'll take those two. So, you know, either of those two. Again, I we'll see next week. Obviously, my mind will change, so I'm not telling you to go bet those. But that if you're asking, you know, putting a gun in my head and making me choose, those would be the two I choose.
Okay. There we go. That's our hockey talk. I've been getting crap all day about my thoughts on the Nas Illmatic album.
Yeah, your thoughts on that are terrible, Joe. I agree. I agree. That album is amazing.
Yeah, but it's not one of my favorites.
Okay, well, it's definitely better than Redman.
Yeah, no, I said Method Man.
Oh, it was Method Man.
Well, I was really trying to get into the Wu-Tang thing. The Wu-Tang is 36 Chambers, one of my favorite albums. Was this discussed on the air?
It was discussed after you guys left.
My God, I'm insulted now.
Yeah, I do like 36 Chambers. I'm not even
there to defend myself.
I do like 36 Chambers.
Wait a second.
I think Illmatic's
still there. I'm a child of the 90s, okay? Life After Death, Biggie Smalls.
Illmatic was the 90s.
Yeah, but Illmatic, listen, it's a great album. It's not one of my favorites.
Okay.
That's just it. Wait, isn't there a difference between the best and top five? Like, it's not one of my favorites. Doggy Style I liked better. By Snoop. I like that. Eminem, Marshall Mathers LP, I liked better.
That's fair. I mean,
Life After Death, Biggie. Ready to Die, Biggie. All Eyes on Me, Tupac. Like, there were better albums. There were.
I think Illmatic is one of the
most underrated albums. It's a great album. I'm not saying it's not great. It's just not my favorite.
That's fair. I get it. I do. It wasn't me going after you. I'm just putting that out there. Wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you.
It wasn't me. I do disagree. I do think Illmatic is probably a top.
No, forget about what it is. Is it your favorite?
My favorite?
Is it your number one? Is it your favorite album?
Like my favorite old school 90s album?
I'm asking you what your favorite album is.
Right now?
No, of all time, rap album.
Honestly, it's probably The Pursuit of Happiness. I love that.
Okay, but it's not Illmatic, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, then. Should I pound you for it?
No, but in my opinion, it was a different question. Is it the best of the 90s? That, to me, that's different. I think it's logical to argue that it's the best of the 90s. I don't think arguing anything by Method Man or Redman is the best of the 90s. That's all.
It's not the greatest of now. I mean, what was I supposed to go square? Was I supposed to bring up the Chronic? Doggy Style? Or Eminem? That would have been square central.
I mean, you're right. In terms of actual rap, you're definitely right. So.
I have to tweet this out now. I'm upset about this. All right, we just did NBA basketball. Let's do a new segment, Dan. Let's just call it Roll the Dice, and okay. We just shoot the shit on stuff going on in gambling.
Okay, I like that. I'm down with that.
All right, we'll Roll the Dice coming up next here on Over on
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
95.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
All right, Over Under 98.5. Just gonna roll the dice. Just see what number pops up there. I'm sure you got a bunch of just like random gambling stuff from the week. But this Jeopardy guy, I don't know, man. Like, how does he know all these questions? And now I want to know what he picks. I want to know what his picks are. Like, during the football season next year, Dan, I want to know what this guy's thinking. I mean, he might not be right, but I want to know.
He's going to be able to charge a lot of money now.
This guy's going to, yeah, he can retire anyways with all the money he's going to make. But now he has a home at some sort of Vegas casino. It's a lock.
Of course. I mean, he probably already does if he's a professional. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, now it's going to be, you know, can you get... can I buy your picks? And then, you know, that's going to be the next thing, is because he knows so much about trivia. Now it's going to be that, you know.
I can't believe that happened. Also in baseball, You were under on the Red Sox win total or over?
I was under. I pegged them for 90 wins and second in the AL East.
Do you think they can even get to 90 wins at this point?
I think it would be a real uphill challenge for them to get to 90 wins. I think that they can get to 88. So if that's good enough for the second wild card, which it's very possible, I think they could get the second wild card. Do I think that they are going to, you know, win the AL East or get into the playoffs? No. But I do think it's possible. I don't think the season's over. Like, I'm not one of those, like, oh, season's over, you know, April 20th, the season's over. I'm not one of those guys. I think that there's a long way to go and a lot of things can happen in any baseball season. So is it possible that we kind of go back to the Boston, you know, first to worst? Yeah, it's definitely possible. I don't think they're going to be worse than the Orioles, but, you know, is it possible? Sure. Do I think that they're going to make the playoffs? No. Is the season over? Definitely not. You know, there's a ton of baseball to play. We are about 15% through the season, but there's a ton to play, Joe.
So, just another thing to throw out there. Nobody on the Game of Thrones opened up last week. I know we did a big segment, and actually people love that segment, Dan. From everything that I've heard, there was a lot of people.
Everything I've heard back is agreed, has been very positive.
But there's still things out there, right? Like, we still don't know who the true first kill is. And now after the episode, who's going to be the ruler of Westeros? And Jon Snow found out last week. He knows his history. He is now the opening favorite of the ruler of Westeros. Plus 225, Bran Stark plus 275, Sansa 500, Gendry still on the list. And somewhere, Peter Baelish, Littlefinger, is still on that list. Still, even entering episode 2 on Sunday.
Yeah, you did talk about, you know, You did talk about that conspiracy theory about, you know, about Littlefinger being a faceless man. I think that's extremely possible. I will say I'm still going to roll with Bran. I think the steam is real. I think that, you know, there's probably some legitimate there. I think that he also could be the Ice King. I think that, you know, you could really go either way. I'm going to say, you know, it could be either way. So I'm going to go with both. I'm still going to roll with Bran.
Did you watch the episode last week?
Of course.
Okay, so the end, you know, Bran, Jaime, the favorite now to die first is Jaime Lannister, and I just can't have that.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It can't happen. No. Like, they need him. And I feel like Bran of Tarth, she's going to come up and save him. Well, I don't know.
Now, I mean, next episode, we're going to see a lot. I mean, I think next episode, there's going to be it's going to be a big setup episode again. You know, obviously episode one, obviously setup episode. Episode two, big setup episode. I've heard rumors that episode three is wild. So that's what I've heard. I'm not going to go any more into that because I don't want to give any spoilers. I've just heard that it's wild.
What kind of soccer is going on right now, Dan?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's everything kind of going on right now. There is... It's the end of the main season. So, you know, the Prem is kind of wrapping up right now. Same with, you know, Ligue 1, which is from France, the Bundesliga, which is Germany, Serie A, obviously Italy, the Eredivisie, which is the Netherlands, and La Liga, which is Spain. Those are the big leagues right now. They're all wrapping up, kind of getting towards the end of the season. PSG just needs one win to wrap up the French league and literally have lost three straight. They have so many injuries right now. They're feeling like their reserves and they just can't buy a win. So they still have time, you know, in the Prem, Man City and Liverpool are really, you know, fighting it out for the title there. Tottenham is, you know, right behind them, but I'm say right behind them. Tottenham's in third, but they're far behind. They're at 67. So it's going to come down to Liverpool and City. I believe each team has like two games left. I believe if I'm correct, I believe they each have two games left. So we're about to wrap up the seasons for real soccer, which means that my season of soccer and the games that I like to bet, is really common. Now I bet these games all year. I bet the Bundesliga and everything. I bet all these games. I have a lot of sharp buddies who end up betting soccer, and so I kind of roll with them. But the stuff that I really like to get into is coming up.
All right, cool. And let's roll the dice one more time. The NFL draft is next week. Kyler Murray will be the first pick. Bosa second. Is that what you think?
Yeah, Murray is going to be the first pick. We actually talked about that a long time ago. Taking that bet, I think we actually talked about it on the podcast. Taking that bet, it was at +2. It was at +500 a long time ago. I got +500 and +250. So that is a pretty good, you know, pretty good. There are some other NFL draft, you know, bets if you want to kind of go into those and do a segment on those. Glad to. I did bet a few of them today. There is one I really like as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll save it. Okay. The week one opening lines in the NFL are out already. And just I want to throw a few out there that look just a little fishy off the bat. The Oakland Raiders, who sent home their whole entire draft thing, are 3-point favorites at home against Denver.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay. Let me just keep going. Detroit at Arizona is a pick 'em.
Yep.
Tennessee at Cleveland is 4.5.
Yep. Five, actually. Five.
Okay. Patriots 6.5 over the Steelers.
I have 6.
And, well, I guess they're real. Philadelphia -8 versus Washington.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I mean, again, these are super far look ads, so that doesn't surprise me. The ones that, I'll give you my list, Joe. Kansas City only a 4.5-point favorite versus Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, but still. I agreed with you. You know, the Cleveland-Tennessee line, very fishy. So that to me is very interesting. I agree on the Oakland line. I think that's a spot that is going to be very interesting to take advantage, because who knows what Oakland's really going to be next year. And then Minnesota -4 at home versus Atlanta was also one I saw, and I said, what the hell? Four at home versus Atlanta, who wasn't good last year? Interesting. So
let's bookmark these lines. We're just, again, we're just rolling the dice here on a few. You got anything else, Dan, before we take it to the window?
I mean, did you want to do NFL draft props quickly?
You can do that. Just one other thing I wanted to mention here. Because Tiger Woods won the Masters last week, it's going to like springboard like all these other guys now, or just all these other events. Like Tiger now may be the favorite. Like, it's just going to be interesting. The fact that he won the Masters now, he's going to be they're going to have to adjust the lines because people are going to bet him more.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got cleaned up last week.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to bet Tiger every week now, which doesn't mean he still can't win. Does not mean that. I'm just putting that out there. So, true.
All right. What do you got for NFL props?
All right. So we got some draft props here, and let me pull them up. I did take a look, and I have discussed this with a few people. So first things first, one prop that I really like, you know, and these are all off five dimes, by the way. Their limits are like $100, so we're not talking about big bets here. There is one that you can – there are a few that you can bet more than others. So first one that I really liked, Daniel Jones, second quarterback drafted at +260, ooh, which was at 325 yesterday. But I'm just going to give it at 260. I think Jones has been hyped. I think he's going to be picking really early. I think he's past Haskins for whatever reason. And so I would like to take a chance there at 260. If you want to take Haskins – Haskins is +150. So you can take Jones and Haskins as the second quarterbacks and make some money there. So, wow.
That's actually a no brainer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, these are already $100 bets. So, you know, we're talking about making like $50. You know what I mean? So I do agree, though, that, you know, that's pretty good. Drew Lock is in third at +320. So that's the way I look at it. And Will Greer's on there at +4,000. So that's not going to happen. First wide receiver off the board. I was very surprised about this. To me, this is A.J. Brown +1,200. I'm very surprised. I know that everyone thinks that DK Metcalf is going to be first, or, you know, Butler or Brown. I think that A.J. Brown is still probably the best wide receiver prospect, so I'm going to go with that. I think it's a long shot, but in my opinion, he was the best, you know, wide receiver prospect to come out this year. Plus 1,200 is some, you know, pretty good odds on that, so I'll gladly take that. D.J. Hockenson, now this is a bit very square. D.J. Hockenson, first tight end drafted, minus 300. Like, again, that's a lot to lay. I don't really like to lay those lines.
I think he'll be the first.
I mean, that's pretty much free money unless you think that Fant is going to go before him. I think that Hockenson is probably that's as close to as obvious as I think you'll find. They actually did just put up some new ones, which is interesting. I haven't seen any of these yet, so I'll have to take a look at take a look at these. Drew Locke. Drafted under 10.5 or over 10.5. I'll definitely take a look at those later. But my favorite prop out of everything, wide receivers drafted in the first round over 2.5, minus 140. Like, what? Of course there's going to be 2.5. I think you're going to see a run on wide receivers just in the mid, like, the late teens to the late 20s. I think you'll see probably 3 or 4 of those guys go in the first round. So, that to me is my favorite one. Those are kind of the few I want to just give out there. I think, you know, well, if we have some time next week, if we end up doing the podcast early or whatever, maybe we can go deeper into them. But those are kind of just the small draft props that I personally happen to like a lot.
There happens to be some win totals that are out as well. And the schedule came out this week, so we could have some fun with that throughout the week. So again, we're just recapping a lot of stuff, giving you what's out there this week. We already got a PP from Dan for Game 6 on Sunday between the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And finally, coming up, we're gonna take it to the window. Any questions that you have this week? But it's every week we're just gonna be adding something new. We'll roll the dice, throw some stuff out there, and the NFL is slowly creeping up. Major League Baseball is gonna start taking over once these playoffs end between the NBA and NHL, and I'm sure a lot of other stuff will be popping up here. So. We will take it to the window, Dan, coming up next right here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over under 98.5.
How do you feel about people calling us the Over Under podcast? Do you want the Over Under 98.5, or do you want Over Under?
I'm okay with either. I'm okay with, you know, it doesn't bother me. The podcast name is Over Under 98.5, so we're Over Under 98.5. But you know, it doesn't bother me people saying like Over Under. You know, I mean, everything gets short these days. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, or the Bankroll Boys.
Yeah, again, also that doesn't bother me either.
That doesn't bother me either. All right. I got a few questions this week. I know people have been sending the questions to OverUnder985 on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yes, they did. So I do want to give out one more thing, and this is a bonus for listening. So if you basically have listened this far. So I'm mixing things up a little bit. I'm going to be super square here, Joe. You ready for this? Super square, Dan. Golden State minus 8 tomorrow. I'm being super square. I think Golden State minus 8. I think they win that series 4-1. I think I don't think the refs have any interest in helping that series. I think you'll see Toronto with the refs and Portland with the ref assignments tomorrow. They want to keep those series close. I think that Golden State wins easily 8. Give me Golden State minus 8. Very square.
Okay. Any questions out there?
Hold on. Or if you want to, and I'm not playing this, but if you want to. A Boston Golden State money line parlay. Again, we're not big parlay guys, but you know there is a time to do it. The NBA playoffs, that would be the other thing. I think Boston cleans up. I would be very careful. Or you can do Golden State Toronto. I'm not doing any of those. I'm not. So don't ask me. I'm not playing them. I gave you my play, but just you know putting those out there. Very square. One of those will lose. Toronto, Boston, Golden State. One of those teams, I think, will probably lose outright.
Okay, let's do 5 questions because I'm up against it.
All right, let's pull them up here and let's get them going. First question, Joe. First question. I'm sure you guys will talk about this, I didn't bet the Celtics plus three. I've learned from you guys to avoid those lines. They look like a trap. In the regular season, I felt good about not playing that line. But where did that line come from? I've watched every minute of all three games on the analytics side. The Pacers don't look like they can beat the Celtics, even with the refs help at the end of game three. Did the bookmakers just miss on that one? Game two was spot on.
I think, just in my opinion, this is game two, right?
No, this is game three yesterday.
The game three, me and you both thought the Celtics should be minus one, and they weren't.
He's asking why the Celtics were plus three.
I think they wanted money on the Pacers.
See, I think it just has to do with the fact that the books know when the refs are going to try and influence a series. To me, that it's been very evident for a long time, Joe, that they will know when the NBA wants to influence a series. I've long believed, and I know this is a conspiracy theory and has never been confirmed to me or anything like that, but I've long believed that the NBA in Vegas have been in cahoots for a very long time. And so, in my opinion, I believe that the reason that those lines come out and are shady like that, for instance, the Rockets plus three tonight, are because the refs will be against a team in Vegas knows that. So they will take the team and the refs versus the other team. And by the way, I am not the only one who thinks that. There are a lot of sharp bettors who agree with that. And, pretty much where I learned it from, agree with that stance. And, you can see it very clearly. The Celtics, the free throw disparity ended up evening up because the Celtics had 11 free throws in the last minute and a half. That game was not close. So, and there are a ton of fouls in that game. The Pacers probably win that game. The Celtics don't make all those shots. That's realistically what it ultimately comes down to.
Okay. Hey, by the way, did you see the Olivia Culpa, the Danny Amendola stuff on Instagram?
We did. We actually talked about that on Twism today with Arcand. Interestingly pathetic stuff from Danny, who I love. I love Danny Amendola, but...
Man, those Buddy. Instagram models, Dan, I'm telling you, they're taking over the world.
I mean, Coupal's more than an Instagram model. She's just hot in general,
Date a girl like that. All right, keep going.
What is she, what did she win again? The Miss Worldwide or whatever the hell it was. Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
All now right. She likes Zed.
I mean, whatever. I don't care about that.
Zed's dead, man. Okay, keep going.
All right. This question is from Bill. Just looking at the baseball betting, how much stock do you put into the pitching matchups? What is the most important factor in betting baseball, in your opinion?
For me, I put a lot of stock into it.
Okay, so you care more. You care more about the pitcher than anything?
Not more than anything, but I mean, stock? I mean, yeah, I'm putting a lot of stock into it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's three factors that I take a look at in baseball. One, the pitcher. Two, the lineup. And three, the line. I think that the opening line will
losing
tell you
streaks I look at, too, or winning streaks.
There. Right, but here's a perfect example, Joe. A lot of people were giving me a real hard time for picking the Pirates last night. A real hard time. Because Bumgarner was on the other side. Mm-hmm. Bumgarner has not been the pitcher that he used to be for two or three years now, in my opinion. And, if people overrate name value. When the Pirates open as a minus 115 favorite, you can see their lineup is pretty well stacked with pretty much all the regular day players. And their pitcher is completely underrated. I think Lyles is very underrated. There's a very clear theme there. Don't bet the Giants. So it's just there are factors that you need to take a look into this stuff. This is – Everyone does it differently. Again, everyone does it differently. For instance, I like the Giants today. They're not going to win. I didn't bet them, but I like the Giants today. So for instance, I that would have been my bet. I think they're probably not going to win. But just don't put too much stock into a pitcher's name being the reason to take a side. It's just it's not enough.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do a couple more here.
All right. Two more. All right, this question's from Justin. Guys, do you believe that there is value to taking the Bruins series price down three games to two?
Yes.
So, Joe,
is there value? Yes.
Well, do you find enough value to play it? Because do you think the Bruins are going to win the series, essentially?
I mean, I would. Yeah, there's value there, if that's the question he's asking. Yes.
So here's the thing. I checked the Leaf series price at the beginning. I have them at plus money. I think it's like
plus. But there is, you do agree there's value in the Bruins.
I think it's hard to find perceived value in the Bruins unless it's for a hedge. I'm being optimistic about the team, but in terms of value, I think that we've seen the Bruins get outplayed most of the series. I think that Toronto's the better team.
Yeah, but the guy asked, was there value? And I do think there is value.
Well, I think you can find value in anything, technically. But me personally, when it comes to perceived value versus actual risk, I think there's more risk in betting that than perceived value. Now, I might bet it because I already have the Leafs series price from before the series started. We talked about that. I bet the Leafs. So there is perceived value there. For me to hedge in general, personally, I don't. And again, Joe and I do different things. Joe is successful in his own way. I am as well. I don't see value. Joe does. That's all. We can disagree on that.
I'm just looking at it. There's the guy asked, is there value in it? Yes, there is value, but they could also lose in game six. Like, you know, there is value though.
Okay, that's fair. Again, I view the risk is more than the value. That would be the way I would describe it.
Probably right about that.
Yeah, I would. If you want to bet the Bruins, just bet them game six. That would be the way I would look at it. And you could always, you know, then go, you know, and choose whatever side you want in game seven. Whatever. I assume the Bruins would probably be like -140 or whatever because they're home. Again, I think the home thing is stupid. So it's just finding the actual value in that. Final question, Joe. Final question. Is there anything that you look for in over-unders for baseball betting?
Yeah, I like to look at past matchups and how teams hit against the pitcher.
So you take like team stats versus that pitcher?
Yes. Yep, how lefties do against a certain right-handed pitcher or right-handed lefties do, you know, vice versa. Yeah, I look into a lot of that stuff.
Do you care about how, like, the Red Sox have hit a certain pitcher? Like, let's say, like, they're facing, you know, Marco Estrada. Do you care about the Red Sox stats versus him?
In the long run, no. But, like, again, you know, why do you hit certain guys? Like, why is Steve Pearce bat third in the World Series? Because he crushes lefties, boom, he's the MVP. Like, that kind of stuff works. Yeah, baseball's so weird. It's definitely matchup driven. Like, these questions are, do you do this? Do you do that? Yes. Yes, you do have to look into certain things. How do guys pitch in daylight? How do guys pitch on night times? How do guys pitch on 4 days rest? How do guys pitch in the cold weather? How do they pitch in the water? Like, there's so much to look into. So, yes, agreed. I do look into all of these things.
Agreed. The other thing that I do, and I guess I also do take a look at past historical data, and I look for outliers. You know, a guy who hits, you know, 300 with, you know, whatever, or like hits, you know, 275, there's nothing that's really an outlier there. I'm looking for outliers in terms of elite hitters. So, you know, if Anthony Rizzo, who's a very good hitter, you know, just constantly gets owned by this specific guy, in my opinion, and, you know, whatever, you know, that will be something. Or, for instance, David Price, there was a catcher from Tampa Bay, I'm blanking on who it was, you may know, Joe, who just owned David Price. And just every single time Price pitched, he would just slam Price. Mm. So I would always have his, you know, his player props or whatever. I would just, you know, and then because of that, I always say, okay, well, that guy is going to, you know, let's elevate him into an elite level hitter status for this certain game because he has crushed Price to the tune of like 380 and like with a ridiculous, like a 950 OPS or whatever it was. So, like, those are the outliers that I look for. There are definitely things I care about. Like, if you have an elite hitter that, you know, just doesn't perform well, that's a big issue for me. Or if you have a below average hitter or someone, you know, not an elite player who just is constantly just crushing a specific pitcher, to me that adds value to that team. So I do think that those things are very important to look at personally, and they do definitely help towards an over-under. You know, if you can find, you know, a seven-hitter and believe that he is going to be more of a two-hitter or three-hitter, you know, versus that pitcher for three at-bats or two at-bats, I think there's good value in that, and that helps the over the under.
All right. Was that it for questions for this week?
That's it. That's what we got. I mean, we have more. Do you want more?
No.
I think we're good. Those are the main questions that we have this week.
This was a long podcast this week, but a lot out there when it comes to the playoffs. and everything like that. So we will wrap this bad boy up. Again, send in your questions at over under 985. You can send our stuff at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz. We're always available on Twitter. Should be a big week this week, Dan, when it comes to game playoffs and possibly game second rounds of series and a lot going on. And I'm sure they get the draft next week as well. So for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.